Good morning. It's 16 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining me in the studio this morning to talk about some changes at Sitka National Historical Park is Brennan Carter, Chief of Resources there. Good morning, Brennan.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks for coming in.
You bet.
So you've already had one battlefield restoration presentation, and you're doing another tomorrow.
Yes, that's right. At 5 o'clock at the visitor center, we're going to have I'm going to do a presentation on the plans that we have for restoring some of the views.
Yeah, we have. We've heard about this on our public service announcements here on Raven Radio, and we've read the PSA in the newspaper. And there's probably a lot of people, regular visitors to Sitka National Historical Park, might be scratching their heads, going, "What? I mean, the battlefield looks just fine. It's a kind of a beautiful walk through the woods, but I guess it's not really true to the original historical character of that place."
No, in 1804, the area down by the point of the peninsula there was much more open than it is now. Essentially, the area that's to the seaward of the fort site has now grown in, and that phenomena is essentially a phenomena from 1980 till now. It was much more open before 1980.
What happened?
Well, a couple of things happened. First of all, there were lots and lots of logs that got loose from the ALNP, the Alaska Lumber and Pulp mill operation that began in 1958 and ended in 1993. And a lot of those logs ended up just scattered all across the battlefield. And they provided a perfect place for emergent trees to grow. And eventually the trees just took hold and created an emergent coastal forest there. Another thing that happened is there's been a little bit of isostatic rebound right in that area, which has raised the land a little bit. And that has allowed the whole area to desalinate and allowed for trees to grow. So.
Yeah, it used to be marshier.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It was during the battle, it was probably an intertidal area, 3.5 acres of intertidal area there. And we have some oral history as well that there were salmon traps, fish traps out in that area.
Really? No way. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yep. I guess that that you have aerial photographs going as far back as like the 1920s?
Yes. Our earliest aerial photograph is from 1929, and it's very clear even from the 1929 aerial that the area out there was still being periodically flooded by the ocean. So we have pretty decent photographic evidence.
Okay, so nature has kind of contributed to the alteration of that landscape through isostatic rebound, and then humans have been involved. There are a lot of people listening who remember Sitka during the heyday of the mill era. The shorelines around here were just carpeted in logs that would roll out from underneath the huge rafts that were towed literally right down the channel, right past the park to Silver Bay where the mill was located. Yeah,
and that's right.
And yep. A lot of these logs still around. So the idea is to kind of take it back to not necessarily how it looked exactly in 1804, but to sort of restore that character.
Right. Well, the main thing is to reestablish a visual continuity between the water and the fort site, because without that visual continuity between the two areas, it's very difficult to imagine what it would have been like to be in the fort and see the Russian frigates out off of Cannon Island, or to imagine if you're on the water side to imagine seeing the fort on land. Both views are really important to the interpretation of the park. So,
yeah. Why is it happening now? Has the park's management philosophy about the fort site changed, or is it just the natural evolution of the park's priorities, or what?
No, periodically we go back through the general management plan that was signed in 1998, and we reevaluate whether we're actually doing things that are consistent with that general management plan. And we just did a recent one and realized that, you know, we weren't really capturing the true characteristics of the fort site and the battle site. So we wanted to reestablish that effort and, you know, get going, you know.
Yeah, all right. So what's the public's role in all this? And I guess I wanted to, there's probably tribal involvement and then and the general public as well, because Shishkinu, significant especially to the Kiksati Tlingit, but the general public are really fond of this park and that area. So how do you navigate through, how do you navigate this kind of change through the public and the various interests affected?
Well, we have done consultation with the Sitka tribe, and we've both presented at their tribal council meetings, and we've also given summaries of the project to their administrator, Lisa, so that she can consult internally with the tribal members and with the tribal committees. We also work on a parallel track with the public, and we do public meetings like what we did last week and this week. And we also reach out to Tlingit clan leaders on a parallel track and engage them and gather their input on what they would like to see. So
yeah,
it's all done on parallel tracks.
Right. So have you heard anything that surprised you, or is there any sort of pushback that that the park is running up against that you wasn't expected?
I wouldn't say, you know, there's one of the things about managing a park is that a dramatic change of any type is really something that people react a lot to. And our intent in this is to do it in a way that's incremental, that gets us closer to the type of look that we want to see down there on the battlefield, but in a way that's you know, not particularly dramatic. You don't want to, you know, throw a lot of things out there at one time. And the cool thing about this is that many of the people that have lived in this community for years remember when the area out by the battlefield actually looked like a battlefield. It was open. It had coastal grasses on it. It had sort of a windswept look to it. And so those older community members really, we've seen no kickback from the old elders in the community, right, that we've talked to. Well, and many of them actually remember it. They're like, well, I remember when I used to go down and collect spruce roots out there, and we can't do that anymore because it's a woods.
Right.
So it's really, really cool to get that kind of feedback.
Interesting. Brennan, just briefly, what's the work going to look like? What are you planning? What's going to be removed?
Well, it's going to be a visual corridor. We're very sensitive to not letting exotic invasive plants get out of control in that area. So initially, it's going to be clearing out undergrowth so that you have visual continuity. Like, you can see from the fort site out to the water. So there'll still be large trees there and a canopy so that the exotics don't release, but you'll be able to see the water from the fort site. And if you're out on the water, you should be able to see into the fort clearing through the tree canopy.
So it's understory mainly
understory.
That's going to get cleared out. What about the old pulp mill logs that are all washed up there?
We would like to get some of those logs out of there because they're all intrusive. They're all essentially a post, 1958 phenomenon. Many of them are actually from the 70s and 80s. So, there's no historic value to them except to, you know, talk about the pulp mill operation, which is not really a core interpretive emphasis for the park.
Okay.
I mean, so.
And when is the work going to happen?
We would like to start this summer. Our plans are to start doing some limited work this summer. A lot of this relies on public input. You know, if we have members of the public or the tribe that have real concerns about it, you know, we're always very responsive to that, especially if it brings forth information that we didn't have before or concerns that we didn't have before. So if one of the things that we've moved to in the Park Service is what's called adaptive management, so we're trying to be sure that we incorporate public input, new information from science, information that people collect and bring forth to us, that's really good information, and incorporate that into the way that we manage things. So,
all right. So, and it's going to be happening tomorrow night.
Yep. 5:00.
Adaptive management in action.
Yep.
Are you going to be giving the talk, Brennan?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brennan Carter will be giving a presentation 5 p.m. tomorrow evening in the Visitor Center, Sitka National Historical Park. And he'll be talking about battlefield restoration. Same territory we covered this morning. And the work's going to be getting going this summer. Thanks a lot for coming in.
All right. You're welcome. Thank you. I appreciate the invitation.